All aboard the cruise ship, Frankie Ford. All aboard.
Ooh-wee, baby. I'm Ronnie Allen, and I have Frankie Ford on the phone right now, and I'm going to be able to ask him the question that everybody in the world wants to know the answer to. Frankie, where did those sound effects at the beginning of the record come from?
The sound effects were not a boat.
No.
And a boat bell. They were buoy sounds.
Really?
That the big, back then, we got at the library. Now you see, I went to Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say library.
Library. Right.
And at that time, we had a turntable. You could speed it up so it could get close to the key of C that C cruises in.
Right.
So the harbor sounds, they are not boat sounds.
Well, they're supposed to suggest a cruise, I guess.
Yeah, but well, the thing was, that's a buoy bell and a foghorn that we sped up.
to make it the appropriate key. Well, it worked.
Yes, hello.
Hello, it worked. Yeah, and it set the atmosphere for that particular recording. I'm Ronnie Allen, and I'm so pleased to have on the phone Frankie Ford. And Frankie, you were born in New Orleans?
Yes. I was born in New Orleans. I've been on stage since I'm 5 years old. I worked with Sophie Tucker at the Blue Room when I was 6 years old. So I've been around for a while.
Yeah. Some of these days, Sophie Tucker. Some of these days. What were you singing at the age of 5?
Wheel of Fortune, Pistol Packing Mama.
Okay, the old hits, the pre-rock hits.
Oh, yeah, because there was nothing back then.
That's right. This was before rock and roll.
Yes, long before.
Eventually, you got to Ace Records.
Yes.
Was this your goal, to get a record contract?
Yes.
So how did you make it happen?
Well, I was working a club here in New Orleans, and this guy comes to me after the set, and he said, I'm a representative of Ace Records. And would you like to do a record? And I said, well, certainly. He said, well, call me. And the whole deal was done on a napkin, a cocktail napkin.
Wow.
I gave him my number. And then he called me. He said, the owner of Ace Records is in town. Can you get down to the studio now? And we went down, and I played Cheating Woman and The Last One to Cry, The Other Side. The owner, Johnny Vincent, said, we're going to do that. And I said, when? He said, now. And here I am with Huey Piano Smith, all the great musicians, and we cut the record.
Cheating Woman, was that an original song that you wrote?
Yes, I wrote it.
So just like that, they recognized your talent and they said,
it was going at that time, man.
I know Huey Smith and the Clowns were an act on Ace Records. Were they also kind of the house band of Ace Records, too?
Well, yes. Huey Smith was sort of the producer for Ace Records.
They had hits on their own, of course.
Yes, Rockin' Pneumonia, Don't You Just Know It.
And it was the New Orleans sound, really.
Yes.
Well, why don't we listen to that song? And this was your very first release.
My very first record.
This is from 1958 on Ace Records. Here's Cheatin' Woman.
I've got a cheating woman, half mean as she can be. She makes eyes at all the other guys, makes a fool of me. She swears that she'll be faithful, but boy, what a lie. The second that I turn my back, she's got another guy. I know that I'm crazy,
That was Cheatin' Woman, the one that started it all for Frankie Ford, but that record did not make you a star. It took another record to make you a star.
It was a regional hit.
Okay, so it kind of laid a foundation certain areas of the country.
And it was a regional hit in Philadelphia. And I worked for Georgie Woods from Philadelphia, who was the biggest black disc jockey there. He hired me for the Uptown Theater. Those were the old five-a-day shows.
Right.
And when I got there to rehearse, he said, "Oh, my God, you're white." He didn't know I was white. And with C. Cruz, it was number one in R&B, so Ace published a picture on me, and it went from number one in R&B to number nothing. Yep, they found out I was white.
Oh, gee. But let's just backtrack a bit, because actually when C. Cruz came out, that was supposed to be the B-side of the record.
I still have the ads that said
Roberta
back with C. Cruz. The thing is that disc jockeys at that time were at their own discretion, and they would play the other side for themselves. And they said, "Oh, this is better than the other thing." That's what happened with C. Cruz. The disc jockeys made it a hit. It first came out, W-E-R-E, Bill Randall, in Cleveland. He started to play it, and then Hoss Allen in Nashville. Then it took off. We were coming back from a gig from Mississippi. I'm in the back seat sleeping. My manager woke me, and he said, "Listen." And I said, "So?" He said, "That's Hoss Allen." In Nashville, Dick Clark's people monitor Hoss Allen. And within 3 weeks, it'll be on Dick Clark.
Did you have a preference when you recorded the two songs?
Well, I like C. Cruz. I begged Ace Records not to put both sides out as one record. If they'd have put either one out first and then followed it with the other one, it would have been wonderful. But because of some of the double play, we used to call it, it was only like in the top 15. But if it was all alone, it would have gotten the top 10 or whatever, you know. But I'm not bitter. I love it. It happened, and I think it's fantastic.
I have a question about the actual recording of C. Cruz. Was this done against a track, or did you actually have the orchestra?
I did a track when I was in Philadelphia working with Georgie Woods. This track was cut. I was to be the new lead singer with Huey Piano Smith. And like the Del Vikings, the Crest,
right,
being a mixed group,
right,
it would have gotten the Clowns out of what we called at that time the Chitlin' Circuit. And so when we cut it, my manager said to Huey Smith, "You don't need a record. Let's put this out on Frankie." And he agreed, and they put it out on me. It was February 1959, and it laid around for a while until they found the right side.
Let's listen to that classic recording right
all
now.
All right, yes.
Yeah.
Let's take a sea cruise, y'all.
Let's take a sea cruise all aboard the Frankie Ford.
Won't you let me take you on a sea cruise?
That was Sea Cruise by Frankie Ford, and that record sure holds up good after all these years.
Rolling Stone magazine said it was the most sensual and rockin' song that came out of New Orleans. And I mean, wow. And it's on 220 different albums.
Let's move on to a song called Alimony, which was the follow-up to Sea Cruise. I think it's a cool song, and it's something about Under Alimony.
Huey Smith, we collaborated on this, and it was a black saying, that woman's got him under alimony.
All right.
Which means she's getting payment. And so that was where that came from. A lot of people think I was saying money alimony, but it was under alimony.
Under alimony.
Yeah.
I'm glad you straightened that out.
On a nun's boat, he sent for his attorney, Mr. Billy Goat. He said, Billy, oh Billy, go and wash your face. I want you looking good when you're pleading my case. She want him under alimony. She want him under alimony. Don't set no bail, give him 30 days in jail. She want him under alimony. Monkey took the stand. She want him under alimony. She want him under alimony. Don't set no bail, give him 60 days in jail. She want him under alimony. She looked at the jury right dead in the eye. Even the judge began to cry. Round her head she had tied a rag of silk. She said, my daughter needs shoes and my baby needs milk. She want him under alimony. She want him under alimony. Don't set no bail, give him 90 days in jail. She want him under alimony. Billy jumped up and began to shout, man, let me tell you what it's all about. You convicted man, and it's plain to see, you got to serve your time and you can't get free. She want him under alimony. She want him under alimony. Don't set no bail, give him lifetime in jail. She want him under alimony. She want him under alimony. Yeah, yeah. She want him under alimony. Oh, oh. She want him under alimony. Hey, hey. She want him under alimony.
If you want to know what a New Orleans record sounded like back in
thank
those
you.
Days, thank you. You're welcome. Hello.
Hello.
Alimony by Frankie Ford.
It didn't do what we had envisioned of doing. And Alimony was the only record I've had that was banned by NBC with the affiliation and everything, because at that time the Catholic Church was against divorce. And so any NBC affiliate wouldn't play it.
Well, I'm glad that they were not against Sea Cruises.
Oh, no, no, no. Well, they were not above that.
But Alimony was a problem, huh?
It was a no-no.
We're going to move on to an interesting story, an interesting song called You Talk Too Much. You worry my head, you talk too much, you even worry my pet. I think that's what the lyric is. Yeah, that's an interesting lyric. And there's quite a bit of confusion about this because you had a recording of it out and Joe Jones had a recording of it out. I understand that your recording was a lot more successful than you've been given credit to publicly.
Well, Joe Jones and Reggie Hall, who is Fats Domino's brother-in-law, wrote the song. They brought it to Fats. He refused it. They brought it to me. I refused it. They brought it to a bunch of people, and nobody wanted it. And so Joe Jones, on his own, got some backing, went into the studio and cut it. Then Joe Jones gave it to Roulette Records, and Roulette sat on it. They did nothing. Then Joe Jones gave it to Rick Records here in New Orleans.
A small label.
So they put it out. All of a sudden, it's on the charts. And Roulette figures out, hey, we got that record. That was leased to us. Well, anyway, so they put restraining orders on one another. They couldn't press the record. So Dave Bartholomew, who was my producer at the time, Dave called and he said, get down here to the studio. We're going to cut this. Well, we came down. We used every musician except one that Joe had used.
Okay.
Dave Bartholomew, that night, hand-carried it to Los Angeles to Lou Chud, who was the owner of Imperial Records. That was a Monday, and on Tuesday, they mastered it, and by Friday, it was on the truck to the distributors. And back then, when you went in and you said, I want you talk too much, they'd put it on the turntable and play it. And say, oh yeah, that's it. Well, they couldn't buy Joe Jones' copy, so they bought mine. I had a gold record before he did. And Joe has passed away, bless his heart. But he said, well, you stole my song. I said, no, you gave it away. You know, giving it to two record companies was a no-no.
So you sold quite a boodle of copies of You Talk Too Much.
Yes, it was a very profitable cover.
How come the record charts, though, did not reflect the record
because
sales?
Because he had the, what at that time they called the turntable record. And it was out first. It was on the charts before I even cut my version. So that's what that was about.
gentlemen, Frankie is not singing about Ronnie Allen, I hope. You're not singing You Talk Too Much, Ronnie. That's just You Talk Too Much, anybody. I hope.
Most ducks do.
But not me, right?
No, not you, but when they talk over the intro.
Oh, I never talk over
it. Never do that.
The only time I talk over an intro is when I open up the show like I did with
Heroes
here, because I was just kind of bringing you on with the sound effects question. You are in the motion picture American Hot Wax.
Yes.
Just for people that are not familiar with it, that was the story of Alan Freed.
Alan Freed.
The actor who portrayed Alan Freed was a gentleman named Tim McIntyre.
Tim McIntyre. And I think that was 78, I'm not sure.
But now, in terms of historical accuracy, if I recall, in the movie, Sea Cruise was recorded in New York City, right? In the movie.
Yeah, well,
in the movie.
I think to protect the guilty,
yes,
they did it all out of sequence. Certain things were before and after, and they just didn't have that all together. Because Sea Cruise was recorded in New Orleans, not in New York City.
When you recorded Sea Cruise, you were not recording it with an orchestra playing at the same time, were you?
Just tracks.
But in the motion picture, American Hot Wax, there you were with the orchestra playing.
Yeah, well, they wanted to do all of that.
Do not use American Hot Wax as the Bible of what really happened in rock and roll.
No, it's not accurate. There's a funny thing. They told me I was going to be in the movie, and they had to ask about my hair and my weight, you know. And I said, yeah. And I went to Pat O'Brien's. They had a house photographer, and I did it that night because they called me off the piano at the club. And so then I went over, and the next day there was airmail then,
right,
and I sent it to them. And so they said, well, we'll do this in another 2 or 3 months. Well, I went on a diet because they always said cameras put 20 pounds on you. Well, I did this thing. If I see another head of celery, I will, excuse me, puke. And so I lost 20 pounds.
Okay.
And I get that wardrobe at Paramount, and don't you know they put me in baggy clothes?
Oh, really? So what good did it do?
I was so annoyed.
All that wasted effort, huh?
They put me in baggy clothes.
Want to discuss one more thing before we close with Time After Time. Was it a couple of years ago that you nearly lost your life, that you had an accident? And I know your fans, want to know how you are.
I had a fight with a Buick, and the Buick won.
Well,
no, that's just a lie, and I don't know what
car
it was.
Am I allowed to
say? You know, I fought the law, and the law won.
Yeah, Sonny Curtis wrote that. I
fought the Buick, and the Buick won.
And the Buick won. But actually, the way I look at it is the Buick did not win. The Buick knocked you down. It was almost a knockout, but you got up from the canvas.
Yeah.
And you're still here.
Yes. I'm very, very fortunate. I don't think God wants me yet, and the devil's not going to put up with me.
Where did this happen?
Across the street from the hotel in Jackson, Tennessee. Yeah.
You were laid up for a while.
Not really. I came home, and I was out a week later.
Amazing.
I'm a feisty old bird.
Oh, you are.
And I thank the good Lord, whoever he or she is. I have to be politically correct.
Well, you are.
You know, if I get up there and she's annoyed.
Helen Reddy, if she's listening, is proud of you.
Yeah, thank you.
Right. Frankie, do you still do a lot of performances these days?
Yes, I'm out every weekend.
Where are you going to be next weekend?
Boston.
We're going to close with a recording called Time After Time, and before we do, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time.
Well, I thank you and bless your listeners for carrying on this music.
www.frankiefor.com is your website, so visit Frankie's website and learn everything.
Just come on down here.
Come on down. And Time After Time was on Ace Records, right? It was right around after Alimony, I think it came, this record, Time After Time.
Time After Time was second to last thing I did for Ace. I was getting older. I say older.
Right.
20.
old is a state of mind. But actually, this was kind of almost like a legit-sounding record. As
what they did, they wanted to get me into supper clubs because I was able to do that kind of thing. Because I came from pop. I studied classical, and I could do a supper club act.
any rate, we're going to close with this song. It's got a great sound to
it. I appreciate it, and God bless your listeners for carrying us on.
Here is Frankie Ford with Time After Time.
Yeah, 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 pretty baby. Yeah, 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 pretty baby.
Time after time, I'll tell myself that I'm so lucky. The one you run to see in the evening when the show is through. I only know what I know. The passing years will show. You kept my love so young, so near.
That's the end of the show, and now a couple of bonus tracks by Frankie Ford. Here's the song that was the flip side of Sea Cruise. In fact, it was the A side of that single, but of course we know that Sea Cruise became the hit. Right now, let's listen to the one that was supposed to become the hit. This is Roberta.
Don't be mad at me,
Roberta.
And one more by Frankie now. This is his version of the 50s hit called 17.
Cutest girl you've ever seen. Tell the world.